I'm Rick Katchke, and this is the Catered Quiz. Today's contestant, from Los Angeles, California, a comedian, writer, actor, and the host of the podcast Who Cares About the Rock Hall, Joe Quazala. Now, here is the Catered Quiz. All right, we are here with another episode of the Catered Quiz. My guest today is comedian Joe Quazala. Joe, thank you for being on the show.
Happy to do it. I'm ready for whatever you're about to throw at me. And I have no idea what to expect, but when Rick comes calling, you know I answer that phone.
I don't even have your number. That's the crazy part.
Yeah, it's like I keep changing it, you know, because then you figure it out and it's like, hey, man, you were putting in a random set of numbers and I don't know how long this is taking, but eventually you're getting to me and it's starting to scare me.
That's why those communications come every few years. All that time I'm working on different combinations.
You're diligent. No one can say you're not diligent, but it is, I would say it's a fool's errand, but you always land on the number. So system works.
Joe, when we first met,
yes,
years and years ago, that night I learned how much you enjoy trivia. So that was part of why I'm thrilled to have you on the Catered Quiz.
Yeah, and that was, boy, oh boy, was that almost 14 years ago, I think. But it's still true. It's still true to this day. I still, you know, one of my, like, I am going to call it a pastime, which is weird, but I do like jumping on some of these websites, Sporkle and hugequiz.com, which I don't even think existed at the time we first spoke, but I love to look at a long, like, list and try to guess the components of that list, if that makes sense, where it's just like, can I name all the Best Picture nominees of every year? Let's see what happens. Give myself 20, 30 minutes or whatever. See how, and you know, I do get better at it, and it's a bit of a challenge for myself, but it's also like, to what end?
Now, one of your videos that you made years ago, I learned that you in high school did a lot of radio contests. What was the biggest prize you won as part of a radio contest?
Yeah, so I won, and I started winning these. It was on my 14th birthday is when I finally got in and got the question right. It was usually trivia-based. It's not as much of a skill if, like, it's just you have to be caller 7 or whatever, even though I did win some of those. And I never really cared about the prize. It was about the thrill of winning. It's like the first thing I won, again, I just turned 14, and it was a 30-pack of beer. Like, whoops. And so I would win beer on occasion, but I also, it's like, I won Aerosmith tickets once, which was cool, but they canceled because Steven Tyler got sick. So I don't know that you can totally count that as like great because I didn't get to experience it. Probably the funniest thing, though, that I won, they just said on the radio, you won Planters Trail Mix. And I was like, what? That seems bad. It seems like not, like, how could this be a prize? Like, if they give me a bag, are they really going to give me a bag of Trail Mix? And what they actually did give me was a duffel bag full of, not loose Planters Trail Mix, but individual, like a lot of individual packages of Planters Trail Mix. And it was in, I mean, the prize was a duffel bag. I got a Planters Trail Mix branded duffel bag filled with a ton of Trail Mix. And so, yeah, that one sticks out to me as being particularly fun. I also won like an early MP3 player that could hold like 30 songs called like a Rio Music Man or whatever.
Well, Joe, there is no Trail Mix or MP3 players on the line today, but you are playing the Catered Quiz, and here is how the game works. Mm-hmm. You have provided me two topics. I've created a Catered Quiz around them. So initially, we are going to do two rounds. So in each round, there are 6 total questions. There's no variation in point values for those rounds, so whichever order we go in is how we go. But then we're going to take a quick break and come back. And the two final questions, the first is called the doubler. So it's a chance to double your score. If you have 100 points, you get the doubler right, you have 200 points. If you get it wrong, you still have 100 points. Then the final question of the game, whichever topic you don't choose for the doubler, you'll use for the final question, which is called the required risk, where you, Joe, must risk at least 1 point. There is no wagering zero on the catered quiz.
It's a lot of strategy involved.
The points today are pennies. So you are playing for money today.
Wow.
But you're also playing to hopefully have a high enough score to end up in the tournament of high scores at the end of the year, where the top three scores will battle it out to try to be named the catered quiz champion of 2024.
I'm thrilled, I'm scared, and I'm ready.
All right, Joe, so the two topics you provided were the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and The Simpsons. Which topic would you like to do first?
Let's do the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
All right, Joe, this is a topic, I don't want to hype it up too much, but I think you might be considered an expert in this field as you host a whole podcast revolving around the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
It's why I host the podcast, is because I didn't realize that other people weren't experts. I realized I was the only one. So I am a leading rock hall expert, yes.
At what age did you first go to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame?
You know, it probably coincides with around the time I started winning radio contests, because I was winning contests on a classic rock radio station. So I was getting into that type of music. So I must have been maybe 13 or 14, because I grew up in Pittsburgh, which is not far from Cleveland. Also, my father's from Cleveland. And so I had family. So we would go visit Cleveland and we would go to the museum and then see family and that kind of thing. So, yeah, I would go pretty consistently throughout high school, maybe even starting towards the end of middle school, 13, 14. And then, you know, around that time, VH1 was airing the ceremonies. So I was watching those. And I went away at some point, probably coinciding with me becoming an adult. But then I went right back into it. And I've been to the hall anytime the ceremony's in Cleveland. So I went in 2021. And is that right? Yeah, I think so. My grand return.
And how many ceremonies have you been to?
I don't plan it this way, but I've been to every other one since 2017. So 2017, 2019, 2021, 2023. So I've been to four.
And of the four, which one was your favorite?
You know, 2021 had a special way about it. And so it was like baked into it was this like return to shows and live events that was really special. And then also that one had just some really great performances. You had LL Cool J showing up, going absolute ham, with Eminem and J-Lo were like unannounced guests, and that was like crazy. And then the Go-Go's really good. I really like the Go-Go's and have for a long time. And I mean, Foo Fighters, it's like I didn't think I cared, but like they're just a great band, and Paul McCartney was there to induct them. And also that show started off with Taylor Swift like doing a Carole King song and inducting Carole King. And so that like that one had like a lot of really cool stuff going on for it. Yeah, there was just a lot of cool performances and a lot of interesting people there. And so I think I might have to give it to that one.
All right, Joe, you ready to put your expert knowledge to the test?
Let's rock and roll.
For 10 points, the fourth floor of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame features a replica of the set from what concert tour?
Interesting. I am going to say The Wall. Pink Floyd's The Wall.
That is correct. Yeah. Yes.
Now, it's interesting because, you know, the museum, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and the concept, like the foundation, are separate things. And so these museum questions might trip me up, but, you know, we'll see how it goes. It makes it suspenseful.
We got a little bit of both.
Okay.
So you don't
Excellent.
Need to worry. It's not all strictly museum. So the follow-up 10-point question. Mm-hmm. What year was Pink Floyd inducted into the Hall of Fame?
They were inducted in 1996.
You got that right. So you're at 20 points, Joe. Great start.
Thank you. I want to say they were inducted by Billy Corgan of the Smashing Pumpkins. Okay, go ahead. So I'm throwing out bonus questions that aren't there, but go ahead.
That knowledge of who inducted who might come into play later.
Okay.
The 20-point question now. Back to the museum itself.
Oh, boy.
The Connor Theater has the Power of Rock experience, which was directed by what filmmaker?
That would be Jonathan Demme.
Correct again. You're at 40 points.
Great experience. That's the best thing in the museum. I always tell people, don't get caught on the first floor, because there's a lot of cool stuff to see on the first floor, like knickknacks, basically, posters, clothes, all guitars. But like, do not sleep on that film, because it's really special. It's the last thing Demme directed.
All right. You're at 40 points. We're here at the 50-50 30-point question. Joe, which band was inducted into the Hall of Fame first, Genesis or Metallica?
Metallica was inducted in 2009 and Genesis was inducted in 2010, so it's Metallica.
Great detective work. You broke it down. I literally have written Metallica, class of 2009, Genesis, class of 2010, in case there was any controversy. Didn't need to worry about that.
We covered it.
So you are on a hot streak. You're at 70 points. There's two answers here. Each one is worth 20 points. Joe, the 1995 concert for the Hall of Fame was an all-star concert that ran for 6 hours and 40 minutes. What was the final song of the show and who was the main performer? So I'm not talking about the edited down version. We're talking there was like 68 songs. What was that 68th and final song and who was the lead performer on that?
Yeah, so this was not the induction ceremony that year. This was the concert commemorating the opening of the museum in 1995. A concert I don't know a ton about. And I know generally who played. And this is I'm going to have to take a wild guess here, cuz I know, and I'll walk you through my process.
Thank you.
I know Bob Dylan played and it was a huge, they didn't even know if he was going to show up, I think, till the day of or something crazy. I know Springsteen played. I know they included some newer artists at the time, like Sheryl Crow and Soul Asylum. I don't think Soul Asylum closed out the show. I kind of want to say, this is tough, because I know James Brown played too. I know that was a big part of it. Aretha played. Chuck Berry must have been there. I'm just going to have to make a random guess. I want to say, was it James Brown?
It was not James Brown.
All right. So where does that, are we toast now? The question is toast.
So you got the artist wrong, but you can guess the song. Yep.
All right. Then I'm going to guess Johnny B. Goode.
No, it was Chuck Berry.
Okay.
And it was Rock and Roll Music.
So as you can tell, I picked Johnny B. Goode thinking it might be Chuck Berry. That was my second guess, but
yeah, it's a train wreck.
Yeah, I bet.
Because
is everybody on stage?
So it's like the E Street Band and Bruce Springsteen and I think Melissa Etheridge, and he just starts, and so
they have to catch up.
Everybody's like catching up. And then he's like making changes on the fly, like Marty McFly, but nobody's following him.
Exceptional stuff. I can't believe I haven't seen this. I mean, like, obviously it's like a 6 hour concert. There's like a lot of it that like, it just seems like kind of a lot to dive into.
I was reading about this and then I was like, well, I need to see it for myself. The whole 6 hour concert is on archive.org, chopped up into three parts, like the original HBO broadcast. Wow. A pre-show hosted by Jon Stewart.
Wow.
And this was such a train wreck, Joe. There was supposed to be like two all-star jams after, like the encore was supposed to be Come Together and one other song. And it was like, no, we're done.
That's it. Call it now. Pull the ripcord. That's amazing.
Well, I'm happy, not to like rub it in, but I'm happy I was able to stump you on something.
Yeah, no, I mean that makes it certainly more interesting. If because you don't want to come out of this being like I could have gone harder,
right?
Like, I really could. I held back, and I shouldn't have.
The final question of the round: the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and Museum's library and archives are located at what school's metro campus?
That's crazy. I am going to guess, given that it's Cleveland, I'm going to say Case Western.
It's Cuyahoga Community College is where the archives are at the Metro campus.
Damn, that's wild. I've heard those archives are really, you know, really cool. And I've talked to authors who have made use of those archives for their work. Probably not something I will be doing. Although, I don't know. Why not? It's a new frontier.
It honestly seems like the sort of thing, if you're going to be in town, you might as well put in a request to like check it out.
Yeah, for sure. I don't really I don't know what the process is like, but it can't be that difficult. I wonder if I need some sort of academic, credibility. They're just like, we don't just like let any dumbass go in there. You need to be like, I'm associated with this university or this like
Just
publishing
send them a link to the
company.
podcast. I mean,
Yeah, come on, let me in there. Let me fuck around.
so you're at 70 points after the first round. We'll come back for one final question for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame later. Let's move on to the next topic of The Simpsons. Joe, I'm assuming that The Simpsons was a foundational show for you and your sense of humor.
Absolutely. I really, really connected with it. I don't really remember starting to watch The Simpsons. It was always just a show I watched. I know families wouldn't always, especially in the 90s, let that happen, but for whatever reason, my parents thought it was fine for me to watch The Simpsons as a wee boy. And yeah, at a certain point, and this was another thing I didn't even realize. Maybe it was because I got that book that
The
like
episode
the
guide.
complete guide to our favorite family, like, and I like couldn't be separated from it. I don't know, it's just like we're going on a family vacation. Well, of course that book is coming. Like I'm reading this book all the time. I remember once in it was like elementary school, I think, maybe middle school, where someone was just like, yeah, Joe loves The Simpsons more than anything. And I hadn't even like thought of it, but it was like, oh yeah, I do. And kind of when you're searching for an identity at that age, you can be like, oh, okay, that's my thing, that's my obsession. And so, I kind of doubled down on it. I would like consume every Simpsons thing, even if because I thought I had to. Like I would read the comic books, which like basically not affiliated with the show, but it was just like I like the Simpsons. That's part of it, and like every stupid little trinket, like promotional shit, like this Simpsons cereal, like we bought that. I've still have the box in a Tupperware under my childhood bed in my room at my parents' house.
You were exclusively eating Butterfingers.
Yeah, I had a lot of Butterfinger shit, and like I did, and I don't even really. I mean, Butterfinger is good, but it was like that was not my favorite candy. But I would have to get the Butterfinger whatever if it had Simpsons stuff on it, and then hold on to the box. It was weird because also when I was getting into the Simpsons, it was kind of like a merchandise desert, which I think people forget about. But like there was the early 90s, and we had a lot of early 90s stuff, Bart doll and mostly Bart stuff. But then throughout like the rest of the 90s, up until the early 2000s, there just wasn't a lot of Simpsons merch. But then they started making a push. They had these like figures that you could put into different settings, and they would like press a button, it would say stuff, and you
Yep.
could mix and match them. And I had a bunch of those. And like Simpsons Clue, Simpsons Monopoly, little Simpsons like figures inside like a little bubble that would come in like almost like a gumball machine type thing. I have a tiny little Luann Van Houten. Like, why on earth do I have Milhouse's mom as a tiny figurine? Who would want that? The bad video games, we had all of those. The ones where it's on the NES, and in order to jump, you have to press A and B at the same time instead of just one button to jump the thing that you're mostly doing in that game. It was, anyway, that is to say, with all that, The Simpsons was also extremely formative in my comedic sense of humor. And I do think that nobody could touch The Simpsons at its peak during that era. Like, it's funny to compare it to the other shows. You would think The Simpsons is from the future, and the other shows would be from the distant past, just given the level of humor, the volume, and the quality of the jokes. And it feels like comedy has been trying to catch The Simpsons, and only until like 30 Rock did I feel like any show even came close to the quality of comedy in The Simpsons. So it's really important to me. I don't even necessarily know that. I feel like I'm decent on trivia, but like there's the Rock Hall, I know more of the minutiae. Simpsons, there's just like a lot of stuff to cover, and like I'm not even necessarily into it for the minutiae. It's just like I just love it, and like it's such great rewatchability. The Simpsons is very important to me.
Well, Joe, let's see how you do. You're at 70 points. The 10-point question here for The Simpsons. In Bart Sells His Soul, how much money does Bart sell his soul to Milhouse for?
Damn. I'm going to say $5.
It was $5. You pulled
Okay,
it out.
man. It's the first question. I'm already sweating, but
In that same episode, this is the bonus 10-point question. In that same episode, what does Milhouse then trade Bart's soul for?
You remember Alf? He's back in Pog form, baby. Alf Pogs.
Yes, Alf Pogs.
Alf Pogs is the best. It's so funny. Man, that episode's great.
You know, rewatching that, I forgot the element of Bart tracking Milhouse down at 2 a.m.
At his grandma's house, right?
Yes.
His grandma's like apartment or something. Yeah. So good.
So you're at 90 points. Now we're at the 20-point question, Joe. In Homerpalooza, what group hires the London Symphony Orchestra?
It would be Cypress Hill.
You are correct.
Not to be confused with Cypress Creek, which is where the Simpsons move and You Only Move Twice.
Wow. That's not on here, but, and I'm not going to give you any points for that.
No, but I just, you know, if anybody's listening and is doubting me for hesitating on the first question, I just want to, you know.
All right. So you're at 110 points. Now the this or that 30-point question.
Okay.
In Bart Gets Famous, what do we see happen first? Bart records a song or a biography of Bart is released?
Oh, wow. I'll say the song.
No, the biography comes out first.
Damn.
But it turns out the biography is like mostly about Ross Perot and Oliver North. There's just a ton of filler in it.
Yeah. Damn it. I love that. Man, it's I do love that episode too. When they go to the box factory, it's like one of the funniest things on that show. So like the Simpsons is so good at like representing boring stuff in such a real and funny way. They don't even box anything at the factory. Those are offsite. Oh, man.
So you're at 110 points as we approach the 40-point question, Joe. What two members of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame voiced cameos in Homer's Barbershop Quartet?
Okay. So, George Harrison.
That's correct.
Is in that episode. He's a two-time Hall of Famer. Can we be done? Because he's in two times. And then, okay, Barbershop Quartet, running through it. Is it David Crosby?
It is David Crosby.
Okay, another two-timer. So that's four inductions between the two of them.
I should have asked you up top if it's okay to say if somebody's a member, if they're not an individual, nominated individually.
Because
Harrison is, but I know Crosby isn't in on his own.
No, I mean, he was a member. They both were, you consider them inducted members for sure. Okay. David Crosby, of course. Crosby, Stills, and Nash, and the Byrds. The Byrds being inducted in 1991, Crosby, Stills, and Nash being inducted in 1997. And Harrison is 88 and 04. One was obviously posthumous, the solo one.
Now the 50-point question for this round.
Okay.
What year was the World's Fair that Bart, Milhouse, Martin, and Nelson missed in Bart on the Road?
Is it 1980?
No, it was 1982.
Okay. Well, I'm kind of glad I don't know that. If I knew that one, it'd be like, what's your fucking problem, dude? But I was close. Got the decade right. 2 years away.
So after these initial two rounds, you're at 150 points. We will take a quick break and be back for the final two questions. Hey, it's Rick Katchke here with the Catered Quiz. Hey, wanted to let you know that the upcoming class for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame will be announced soon. And when it is announced, do your best to avoid seeing who got in and instead check out that day's episode of Who Cares About the Rock Hall, because Joe will announce to his co-host Kristen and all of their guests who got in. It's one of my favorite episodes that they do every year. Highly recommend that. Also highly recommend Joe's album, Funny Songs and Sketches. So many great guest stars. In my mind, I like to picture it being recorded like We Are the World style, where everybody was in the booth at once. I know that's not how it went down, but it's such a great album. Check it out. Really recommend it. All right, let's go back for the final two questions with Joe Quazzala. All right, we are back for the final two questions. Joe, you are at 150 points. So the first decision you have to make here, Joe, which topic would you like to do for the doubler?
I think the Rock Hall.
to move from 150 points to 300 points, Joe. Who inducted the Talking Heads at the 2002 Hall of Fame induction ceremony?
That would be a future Hall of Famer himself with Red Hot Chili Peppers, Anthony Kiedis.
You got that right. I thought about including the future Hall of Famer, but I was like, you know what? I'm gonna make it a little harder for the final question here. You did it.
All right.
So you are at 300 points, Joe. Now, the final question, the required risk. How many points would you like to risk here, Joe?
Let's risk it all.
You're risking it all.
Why not?
To move from 300 to 600 to put you in contention for the tournament of high scores, at least how it currently goes, because we still have dozens more episodes to record. All right. To put you at 600 points or nothing at all. In Lemon of Troy, we learn that which Springfield resident is originally from Shelbyville?
I think it's the aforementioned Luann Van Houten.
It was the aforementioned Luann Van Houten. You did it, Joe.
And it tears Kirk Van Houten up every day. I think that's what he says. Wow. Damn. And then, that's another, you picked really good episodes. Like, I know that era is like full of good episodes, but Lemon of Troy might be pound for pound the funniest episode. If I had to
It was great revisiting The Simpsons. You know, that one is one where it's like, oh, I remember it being funny, but there's stuff where you remember it being funny, but then you rewatch it again, and you're like, I didn't remember it being this funny. So, yes.
It's exceptional. It has so many like classic moments and like, yeah, new things you discover, even just Homer saying stupid like a fox and then trying to climb the fence, like, is not necessarily a classic moment, but just something that makes me laugh. And Martin is a really underrated character, Martin Prince. And there's like so much good Martin, like putting him with Nelson is so, so funny. It's a great Milhouse episode.
Yes, when Milhouse meets the other Milhouse.
The other Milhouse radical, I say radical, like, come on. It gets a lot of stuff about being a kid, right? Also, maybe one of the best jokes is, wait, there's a lemon next to that rock. Like, come on, get out of here. That's so, so, so good.
Also, like when they have to cross over into Shelbyville and they're like, this is it. This is a defining moment. And you see in the background
Lisa and her kite and just going back and forth without a care in the world. Yeah, really, really, really good.
So, Joe, you did it. 600 points, $6. A big money win for you. As we wrap up, Joe, what would you like people to know about before we depart this episode of the Catered Quiz?
We've already talked about it, but my podcast about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame is back. Who cares about the Rock Hall? You can find that wherever you get podcasts. We also have a Patreon for that now, where we talk to official Rock voters about their ballots. And then I have a YouTube special out called Recommended Based on Your Search History. I have an album out called Funny Songs and Sketches, if you like that, if you like funny songs and sketches. And then you can follow me at JoeKJoeK on Twitter, JoeKwa, JoeKwa on Instagram and TikTok. I put out sketches. I do all sorts of stuff. Do you like to laugh? I'm here for you then.
I think that should be your new approach. Like, the here's your sign for you is, do you like to laugh?
Baby, do you like to laugh?
Well, Joe, thanks for all the laughs. Thanks for the great performance. And who knows, maybe we'll see you in the Tournament of High Scores.
This was a ton of fun. Thanks for having me, Rick.
Thank you to Joe Quazala for being on the show. Again, check out Who Cares About the Rock Hall the day that nominees are announced. And check out Funny Songs and Sketches. And after today's show, we have a brand new order for the Tournament of High Scores. Joe Pickett has been eliminated. A Joe takes out another Joe. Our new top three. In first place, Mitch DeSantis with 610 points. In second place, Joe Quazala with 600 points. And in third place now, Elise Bartel with 510 points. I've been your host, Rick Hatchke. You've been the listener. This has been the Catered Quiz. Tell your friends about the show and keep listening every Tuesday.